Hi, I'm Kevin Mandeville.
And I'm Jason Rodriguez.
And you are tuning in to episode number 4 of the Email Design Podcast, where we discuss the latest trends in the email design industry. So Jason, we got a lot of news to cover, pretty much a lot of Gmail action going down.
Yeah, lots of Gmail action.
Yep. So what's new with Gmail?
Oh man, all kinds of stuff. First, I think it's important to note that Gmail is now number 2 in the email client market share. ExactTarget reported this a little while ago. It's big news because, I mean, that's you need to know who, where your customers are opening their emails, what clients you're using, and being number 2 is huge. It's right underneath Apple iPhone. But it's I think that's a massive position change. They used to be what, around like number 6 or something like that, somewhere around there,
middle of the pack.
Yeah. So we've been talking about for a while now how Gmail updated how they handle images, and they now cache images and display those by default in the Gmail web app. So that's kind of the driving force behind this jump. But yeah, it's definitely big news and something to take note of. Any thoughts about this, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to point out that distinction where Gmail's now caching your images and they're enabling them by default for the majority of their users, which is really causing the bump in market share.
Yep.
One of the interesting things to point out about the caching, though, is now that they're caching the images, you can't really differentiate between where users are opening compared to Gmail on webmail or Gmail on some of their apps.
Yep.
It's hard to differentiate that right now. So, you know, a lot of times it's just being recognized as Gmail and not necessarily some of the apps. So you actually are seeing a bit of a dip from the actual Gmail apps market share and a bit of a bump from actual Gmail. And obviously not only that, but then automatically enabling images obviously is causing that bump. And so I think you're just seeing a lot of actions and a lot of these other things that we're going to be going over shortly, in which Gmail is really just trying to bump their market share and reflect that in the statistics. But I think this is a good news, bad news scenario for email designers. So what would you like first, Jason, the good news or the bad news?
Give me the bad news first, always.
Okay, the bad news. Gmail is by hands down the worst email client out there, in my opinion. And I know this is probably a point of debate, but here's why they're bad. They prevent innovation happening in other clients, and they just really have some of the worst CSS support. I mean, if Gmail can really get their CSS support up to par, you know, we can stop inlining our CSS. It really just opens up this game-changing thing. So, I mean, that's the bad news, is I think that right now they're the worst. And there's no excuse for it. Like, Gmail, like, you can, you know, return millions of search results in a tenth of a second. I can parallax scroll through space on your website. I can, you know, I can go ride in one of your self-driving cars. You've made a self-driving car, Google. So that's the bad news, is that they haven't innovated in this space yet, but they can.
Yep.
And that's the good news, is that I probably have more faith in Google being able to turn it around than if this was Outlook. So I'm happy to see that Gmail is up there over Outlook, because I do have faith that they can change, that they have the potential and the ability to change. So that's the good news, bad news scenario from my perspective.
Makes sense to me, yeah.
All right, the next thing we're going to be going over is the new Inbox app by Google, which we're going to get to in a second. But first, we just want to let you know where you can find the podcast online. Be sure to check out all of the episodes at emaildesignpodcast.com. Full show notes and links are there to everything we discuss. And you can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. The links are right there on the website. Also, be sure to subscribe to our newsletter. At the bottom of every post, you can simply subscribe to the newsletter, so it's always in your inbox for every single episode that gets released. And we also want to let you guys know that you can use the coupon code podcast at litmus.com/giftcard for a free 14-day trial of Litmus. You can build, test, and track your emails with Litmus, especially the testing component. It's really awesome. See what your email looks like in over 30 different clients. And so, special free 14-day trial for you, again, at litmus.com/giftcard with the coupon code podcast. All right, so the big news probably of the whole month was the new Inbox by Gmail app. Gmail has released this new app, which is both web and app-facing, called Inbox. And it's basically a new sort of approach to email. I would actually say it's very similar to a mailbox. They definitely swaggerjacked a lot of the same concepts for mailbox, but then they also incorporated some of the Gmail things that they've been working on recently. And so what's interesting about inbox, I would say the key thing, is that they are now automatically bundling your emails into different categories, which is the exact same thing that they are doing with tabs. This takes it perhaps a little bit of one step further, and it's a little bit more granular with some of the categories that they have. So you can now look at your email for promos, purchases, travel, finance, all these different categories. And in order to view those emails, that you have to now sort of dive into a certain bundle to get that granular level data, so to speak. An interesting point, it doesn't work on Google Apps. It only works on personal, individual, at gmail.com email addresses. And for the web, it only works on the Chrome browser. So a little bit, this very Apple-like move from them. It only works on their browser for the web view. But it does work on Android and iOS for the web, so it's not an issue there. You can customize the bundling, which is interesting. So you can choose when it arrives. You know, you can have your emails arrive all at once, like once a day or once a week. Very similar to what Unroll.me does, and similar to what a product we used to have out there called Scoop, which was really interesting. You can actually pin emails now or pin tasks at the top of email. So they're trying to make email much more actionable and take a page from Mailbox's playbook. And so you can pin tasks or pin certain emails at the top, set reminders, and you can snooze emails, mark emails as done with swiping actions. And they're also, the other big thing is this highlights feature where they're trying to display the majority of the information in the email outside of the email, sort of in the actual inbox. So you don't always have to open your emails. You can just sort of see, you know, if it's a flight information, you can see what that looks like, or, you know, an event calendar invite or something. They're trying to make email more actionable and have all the relevant information at your fingertips. Bigger emphasis on the Google Plus profile pictures. So every single email, not only is it just the from name, but they're displaying an actual avatar, which defaults to a letter if you don't have your Google Plus icon up to date, so to speak. But you can show your brand's logo there or the person's profile picture there. So it's placing more emphasis on the sender and the from name and that visual information. From an actual email design perspective, images are automatically enabled, just like the change Gmail made. Inbox is reflecting this. There's still no media query support, so nothing changed or improved from a CSS support perspective on Inbox. You can't expect that, right? We're pipe dreaming that
Never.
One. And there's still one line of pre-header text that you would expect from Gmail. So from an actual rendering perspective, this is still the same thing.
Crappy experience.
It's literally just this whole different UI and UX on top of it. But it didn't actually change the rendering. But Jason, I want to get your thoughts as to what you were, you know, what you think about this new inbox by Gmail.
Yeah. Like you said, from a rendering perspective, it still sucks. So that's not good, you know, it's bad. But we're used to that from Gmail, so I don't think it's a huge shift in anybody's workflow or anything like that. But from just like a purely app perspective, I'm very interested in this. Just I think this highlights is a really interesting feature. Being able to gather this information and see it at a quick glance would be very helpful from just a user experience perspective, you know. It's definitely pushing email in an interesting direction that similar to like Mailbox has done, but it's making it a little bit more useful for the vast majority of people how they typically use their email. So it's really interesting to see Google's take on it, and it's interesting to watch their kind of overall strategy with email and Gmail in general and see where they're actually devoting their energy and how they're going to be adapting Gmail for the future. So yeah, it's really interesting to see. I don't have access yet because we don't have access through Google Apps, and I don't really use my personal Gmail account that much anymore. But once I do get my hands on it, I'm gonna take it for a good spin and see how much I like it or loathe it. I'm leaning towards liking it, except for that rendering issue, but like you said, hopefully Google will fix that kind of stuff pretty soon here.
Yeah, the Google app support really kills it for my personal adoption. Absolutely. All the emails that I have are based off Google apps.
Yep.
So it kind of kills it for me from that perspective. I think the concepts are pretty sound, though. I mean, mm-hmm. we've seen the early success of Mailbox on a limited scale. Because even though Mailbox, again, has been big in the early adopter tech community, it hasn't really made a big impact on market share ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
But people seem to really love that. So it'll be interesting with Google, a bigger distribution platform, mm-hmm. obviously, to see how people, react to it. I think it'll go over pretty positively.
I think so, too. Yeah.
It's making email a little bit more visual, a little bit more actionable. I bet for the individual personal use cases, this will work really well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they're targeting it for.
Yeah,
I think
absolutely.
It's interesting how they created a separate app and they're kind of branding it as its different thing. They didn't choose to redo Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
They chose to create this new thing. And I think that kind of leaves it open for them to go either way. Like if this fails, okay, cool. They don't have to impact Gmail. If this is a massive success, they can transition everybody over to this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read an interesting article that kind of alluded to that fact that Google's in an interesting position because Gmail is so wildly popular that it's hard for them to really innovate within that app. They can't do much to change it without affecting everybody. So they use this concept of creating, it's almost like a startup within Google itself to push these new products and test them out. And if it works well, then they can just shift everybody over to that. If not, then kill it and nobody really cares that much, you know. So it's it's interesting to watch them actually do that and come up with the new products.
Yeah. And I think it's actually interesting. I think I could be wrong, but to me this is the first email experience that's built sort of to be cross-platform friendly. So whether you're viewing it on the web
mm-hmm.
or mobile, it's like the same design and the same experience, which I mean, I guess you could argue some of the other apps have that too, but I think this is the most in tune between a desktop and a mobile experience of it being similar, which is sort of interesting. And it was clearly designed for mobile first.
Mm-hmm.
That's no question. The web component isn't as compelling to me as the actual app.
Yeah,
the app
absolutely.
It's just a better use case for mm-hmm. using the app than it is the desktop for this. But I think it'll go over interesting. And we actually did a test run of the Email Design Podcast before we started releasing public ones, in which Geek.com actually leaked screenshots of this Inbox by Gmail mm-hmm. months ago. And this was back in like May or June.
Yeah.
And so we actually have some sound clips of us making predictions of what these screenshots were for Inbox by Gmail. So let's just have a quick look back to see what we said about that right now.
So Jason, I got to ask you, what were your initial reactions to these screenshots?
I'm not going to lie. My gut reaction is one of skepticism. I saw the screenshots and it's a huge departure from what Gmail currently looks like. And I'm curious if the team's actually going to roll with a design like this. There are a lot of comparisons between the new look and Designer News. They look very similar, and I like mm-hmm. the look. I think it's very clean. It's well designed. But I'm just curious whether or not they're going to turn off a lot of current users of Gmail or if it's too much of a departure from their current interface. What about you, Kevin?
Yeah, I really like the simplicity of it. But I mean, here's the thing. I'm not buying this for a second.
No,
I think
absolutely
this is
not.
I think this is PR 101 from Gmail. I think the email industry gets all excited because nothing ever changes except for Gmail, really.
Yep.
But what they do is they take ideas and instead of just kind of, you know, putting them away, never to be seen, if it's something cool like this that's really innovative, they'll just leak it and use it as a PR mm-hmm. tactic. Now, I do believe this is a real mock-up, but I don't think that this is anything as to what Gmail is actually going to look like.
Yeah.
I really just think, I mean, this is Google. They're constantly testing new features and new designs all the time. So, I mean, this may even be in a test market right now, but I mean, this is just so different and so much of a major change, you know, especially with everything that they've already changed this past year and the investment mm-hmm. they've put into tabs and, you know, a grid view for, you know, the promotions tab. I have a hard time seeing users really transition to this design in anytime soon, at least.
Yeah, I absolutely
agree.
And I
mean, I look at this, I don't know how usable this is going to be. I think that's the thing is that for email, it's all about speed and how quickly you can get through this. So granted, mm-hmm. we don't necessarily know the interaction of this potential screenshot, but It's simple, but I don't know if it's going to help me get through my email faster, and it's just a major change. So
I'm curious
not
about
buying
the reading,
it for now.
Yeah. I'm curious about the reading experience too, just because it's on a big screen. I'm looking at my Thunderbolt display, and it's something like this on a big screen is going to be terrible. The emails will be outrageously wide. It's going to really suck for reading. So yeah, I don't buy it for a second. It'd be cool to see them kind of evolve the interface a little bit, but I don't think we're going to see anything this drastic.
So I don't think we were too far off, Jason. None of us were buying that this was an actual change to Gmail as we know it. I don't think we foresaw that it was going to be its own separate thing, and we obviously sort of missed probably a mobile first type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I thought we weren't too far off.
No, not at all. It's interesting to look back and see how far off we are and how close we are and what Google's actually doing now. So it's cool.
Yeah, but some interesting developments from sort of what this means for the future of mail apps from Gmail now, given Inbox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a whole host of things. I mean, this is basically the Google episode of the Email Design Podcast, let's say. But yeah, there's a couple of things that have come up related to this and how Google's approaching their email apps, especially on Android devices. And tied into that is this discussion that Steven started over on the Litmus community, where he's talking about Google killing responsive emails on Android. So he mentions that he has a Nexus 4 with the most recent version of Android on it, and how the default email app, if you're familiar with Android, it's always been the default Android email client, and then Gmail is a completely separate app that handles your Gmail accounts. That's the only thing it's ever done. So traditionally, the Gmail app on Android is that sucky experience. It doesn't support responsive design. It's a terrible experience, whatever. But the default email app on Android has. It's been generally fine since, version 4 of Android or whatever. Like, it's supported responsive email design. Things render well. It works really well. So we've all been happy with that. But he notes that on his Nexus 4, the latest Android 5 preview, that default email app is gone, and it's basically the Gmail app on there with its shoddy support and no responsive email techniques usable on it. So we started up this discussion, see if anybody had some comments on it, and most people said, yeah, that's going to be the case moving forward. There are a few people said, well, even if that is the case, and Google just strips out that default Android app, a lot of vendors and carriers will use their own apps to replace that because they want to push their own apps and keep people in their ecosystem. So they do that now. So it's interesting to see how that plays, that Inbox app and these changes to the default Android app and changes Gmail's Gmail app on Android are all kind of fitting together and seeing where Google's going to take this.
Yeah, I think, this is bad. First of all, because as you said, this could kill responsive email on Android right now, as we sort of know it from, Gmail and Android, which are the default out of the box apps. But so that's bad. That's just not good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mind Google consolidating the experience if they can nail it. So if they can just simply support the media queries, yeah. I think this is a good thing.
Absolutely.
I think an immense amount of fragmentation with apps isn't a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's the right idea. They need to get the media query support and get that implementation in there.
Yep.
But in the short term, this might hurt email and be a major killer without supporting media queries at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
On Android.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be an Android user, and I always found it very frustrating having two different email clients because the default one wouldn't support Gmail, or the Gmail app doesn't support like Yahoo accounts, Outlook, whatever. So it was a very frustrating experience. So yeah, like you said, kind of consolidating those clients into one is awesome from user experience perspective. But if you're not going to nail that app, then it sucks. It's why do it? You know, it's hopefully they have some foresight and they're kind of looking forward, and they are going to solve some of those issues when they actually merge these things into the wide release of this update to Android. But right now it's definitely a thorn in everybody's side.
So it is something to look out for. There seems to be a bit of debate as to whether this is actually the case or not. Obviously, yeah. They're definitely marketing it and promoting it as that. I guess it's still, there's still some debate in the comments as to whether that's actually happening or not, but Stephen Kidd is reporting that as the case. So just be a lookout, you know, for that, especially for your responsive emails. Might need to really, you know, go hybrid coding approach on this.
Yeah, absolutely.
In the short term. But it is interesting about Gmail, though. I think one of the things that the Gmail app does so well is being able to support and transition to other accounts now. Mm-hmm. And now Gmail just came out with the news that they're actually going to add support for Yahoo and Outlook.com accounts.
Yep. Yeah, so this is very interesting because, yeah, like you said, the Gmail app before only handled Gmail addresses. A new update, they're going to support both Yahoo accounts and Outlook.com accounts. I think it said something about their active or Exchange servers will also be supported. So it seems like they're moving that direction where they're going to kill off that Android email client and just have Gmail. And that's all tied into them growing that Gmail market share and growing that brand and just kind of having everybody into this Gmail ecosystem. This is interesting. I'm curious if this does actually spell the end of the Android default email client, because I haven't heard anything to that effect, but it looks like it's a push in that direction. But I'm also interested to see how this works out with the Inbox app and how these two live side by side and how people actually use them, and see if Inbox kind of takes over in the future that this currently does, or what's going on with it, you know? What do you think about this one?
I think it's a super smart move from Gmail. Again, they're just trying to increase their market share, and this will absolutely do it. And Inbox has a support too. So Inbox supports multiple accounts. And so they're just totally moving to this point where Gmail, they don't care where your email actually lives. Mm-hmm. They just want to be the UI layer that you interact with. And, you know, obviously for them, they'll be able to serve you more ads and promoted content and emails or whatever we end up calling it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's their end game. But I think it's definitely a smart thing. And to me, I actually like the Gmail app today as it is from a management perspective of emails. And I love being able to easily switch accounts. It's so easy. And now that they're able to add support for Yahoo and Outlook.com, it makes things that much easier. And it's really funny because if you think about it, Google used to be terrible with managing accounts. Yeah. Like, remember, like, the YouTube and the Gmail and your Google.com, they used to be like this completely fragmented thing. You'd end up with like 20 temporary accounts because you couldn't switch between different accounts and different products. And now it's like this one seamless unified thing. So I think it's a smart move for them. And again, I totally agree with you. I think all signs point to the end of the default Android client, which is going to hurt in the short term for email designers, no doubt about it.
Yeah, it sucks. I just hope that... I mean, when that client dies, Samsung, Nokia, whoever, they all push their own email clients, their own apps onto their systems, on their devices. I'm curious if that's going to increase or people are just going to accept and be like, oh, you know, let's just go with this Gmail app. What's going to go on there? Because while this is consolidating things from Google's standpoint, that could lead to more fragmentation, more email clients that we all have to kind of deal with, depend on how these vendors respond to it. So I'm curious to see how that actually plays out too. But yeah, like you said, from Google's perspective, smart move. I'm glad to see it happening. Let's just hope they get better support for CSS and I'll be happy.
All right, so we're done with Gmail for the day. That's enough of Gmail. That's enough of Google. We're going to move on to other topics now. Which we've got some really interesting things coming up. And so the first thing we're going to talk about is Litmus, which is Jason and I, full disclosure, employees of Litmus. This podcast is, you know, done by Litmus. But Litmus came out with Litmus Builder, which is a code editor for email design and development, which is specifically, you know, catered for actual email designers, which is really interesting. This was actually a Hack Week project from Jordan, one of the developers at Litmus, about a year ago. And it was just this really simple tool to just sort of see your code on one side and a mobile preview of your email on the other. Just this little awesome tool that got a lot of great reception. And a few months went by. People seemed to like it. We explored the possibility of building this out a bit more. And we ended up doing that. And I was actually lucky enough to be on the project to help sort of build Litmus Builder. And what we've come up with, we think, is a really, really awesome product, you know, an actual editor designed for email design and development. You know, if you think about it, Jason, all of the existing tools out there right now, whether you're using Dreamweaver or Sublime Text or Coda or Atom or whatever editor it may be, it's designed for the web.
Absolutely.
And it's being adapted for the use of email.
Yeah, absolutely.
And even though there's some, you know, benefits of having one code editor for everything, mm-hmm. it's just not ideal for every single use case. And I found this. I used to use Sublime Text before I used Litmus mm-hmm. Builder to code my emails. And it wasn't, like, integrated enough for me. It wasn't fast
yeah.
enough.
Yeah, absolutely.
I missed just there's just too many gaps and holes in time-consuming processes. Mm-hmm. Even with things like Grunt, it just became this really like fragmented, really third-party dependent type of process that wasn't really seamless or integrated for my workflow. So we've come up with some really cool things. There's things like Grid View, which is, you know, very familiar to Dreamweaver users, where mm-hmm. you can click on elements and navigate to the code. Real-time responsive previews, images on and off view. Templates, snippets. There's even timeline, which is cool. You can actually have versioning control for your email, which you would obviously need something more complex like GitHub to do that mm-hmm. previously, which a lot of email designers just don't even really want to have to bother with. And obviously the most amazing thing ever is one-click testing Litmus integration. Mm-hmm. And this was the key thing as to why we did this thing in the start, was just being able to easily in one click, you know, select what email clients you want to test your email in, and then even send yourself a test email so you can view it in actual real inboxes and fire off that Litmus test and just retest and iterate from there. It's like the fasting testing environment I've ever, you know, had for email,
yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is really, you know, the key benefit from it. Mm-hmm. And is something that I recommend everybody checking out. And the other cool thing too is you can actually share your email. So if we've sort of created like a code pen for email type thing. So if you want to show off what you're working on, or maybe you're in the Litmus community and you need help with something, mm-hmm. you can just go into Builder, save your email, and share your email. It'll give you a little link to share or an embed code that you can embed on any website, which is nice and easy. So we've been using it here at Litmus for the past few months to use it.
Yeah.
And I know you've been using it to send out things like the email design newsletter
yep.
and the community
digest.
Yep. So what are your thoughts on this, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, I love it. Like you said, it's, yeah, we all use it. We might be partial to it to some extent, but it's definitely sped things up a lot. Just having that, yeah, the testing availability, especially just for like the one-off, I just want to send a quick email to myself. Like, it's awesome to be able to do that very quickly. And it's amazing. It's just sped everything up. I love the grid view is one of my favorites, being able to quickly jump around your email makes editing something very, very hassle-free. Yeah, like I said, Dreamweaver lovers are going to love this. They're so used to having that design view, and using that to navigate and having this in here is awesome. But yeah, I love it. It's sped everything up. It's the fact that it's integrated to all the other tools that we use at Litmus is awesome, and just makes my life a little bit easier. So yeah, I couldn't say enough good things about it. That's just
I also love the autocomplete on it. So it'll actually autocomplete inline HTML and CSS, even inline CSS, which isn't done anywhere else mm-hmm. really, unless you have some sort of plugin. And it also has HTML and email specific autocomplete, which yep. is literally, you can't find that anywhere. So, you know, common tags like web version or unsubscribe mm-hmm. or even certain attributes from different ESPs like MailChimp and Campaign Monitor and DotMailer and Pardot. Mm-hmm. And we have about like 7 different ESPs that we support right now in their templating languages, which is just really awesome. It's just really focused on email. And obviously we're biased on it, but I think it's cool, you know, just when, you know, taking an outside perspective, it's cool that somebody's sort of innovating in mm-hmm. this space and trying to do something specifically catered for email.
Yeah.
And there's definitely a long ways to go with this. I mean, this is only after a few months of development mm-hmm. with one developer and one designer working on it, which is pretty amazing. So, you know, I'm excited personally to, you know, we've got some really awesome things planned for Litmus Builder in the future. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you use one of these other code editors, I mean, Litmus Builder, I can guarantee you will definitely be a faster iterative testing environment for email than anything
Absolutely.
Else you're using.
Absolutely. I love this toggle images. It's awesome. Use that constantly because we, if anybody reads the Litmus newsletters, you know we love alt text very, very much. So being able to preview that pretty quickly is, yeah, it's delicious what it is. Yeah, love
sexy
builder.
Alt text.
I love it. Love saving snippets. I got some buttons, whatever, you know, a bacon snippet for some bacon ipsum.
You need your good. Bacon ipsum. Absolutely. If you don't have bacon ipsum, I don't know what you're doing with your life. I mean, you got to have that.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah.
And that's not the only news we have for testing.
No, not at all.
From a Litmus perspective.
Not at all. We actually announced this back in at the email design conference. We recently acquired a company called Putzmail, a product called Putzmail. That's been around for a while. It was very basic initially. It was it's a way for you to quickly test email campaigns without having to upload something to your ESP, and jump through all these hoops to actually send yourself a test email. Or if you don't want to necessarily send it directly through Litmus to test something, you just want to send something to your Yahoo account or Gmail account, whatever, and quickly view your email. So it's this great tool we got, and we've put a lot of work into it. We're going to kind of develop it a little bit more and polish it up and make it really useful to people. So you just pop it open. You can define up to 10 email addresses, your recipients, on your subject line, paste in your HTML code, and send your email, and you'll get one in your inbox very quickly. So it's this great way for people to just very quickly iterate on an idea if they're not using something like Builder, or if they don't want to rely on ESP to test their emails. So yeah, it's awesome to be able to announce that we acquired Putzmail. It's out there. We've been updating it, and it's available to everybody. Very exciting news, though.
Yeah, I mean, so Putzmail was really just sort of like this side project from the founder Pablo, and it really had way more success than he ever envisioned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's just so much development work that he needed to do that he didn't have the time for. And so he really felt that being able to have Putzmail become a part of the Litmus family would be a good thing for the development and the future of the product. Mm-hmm. And so the founders of Litmus have, you know, you can definitely read more on the blog post that they wrote, but definitely have committed to making this and keeping this a free and sort of open source type tool for people to use, you know, as a standalone tool. So obviously, yes, if you don't want to go insofar as to use Builder for all your testing, I mean, all of this functionality is there, but this is something where you don't even need a Litmus account. You can simply go to putzmail.com and input your HTML and send off a quick email test, which is really, really awesome. So we have all those awesome testing options available for you just to send yourself a test email address now. And the URL for Litmus Builder, by the way, you can go to litmusbuilder.com to learn more about that as well if you're interested in that.
So not related to Google at all, another email client, Yahoo, has been doing some funny stuff that I'll let you describe a little bit because you've definitely looked into it a little bit more than me, Kevin. So what's been going on with Yahoo?
Yeah, so Dan Denny wrote in on the Litmus community. He asked a question, is Yahoo now removing alt code within media queries? And he basically goes on to say that he was trying to show an example of why you need to use attribute selectors as a workaround for Yahoo Mail. But when he did so, he noticed that it was actually stripping out the code in the media queries. And so I did some initial testing on this to see for myself. And the only reason that we've been using attribute selectors in media queries is because of Yahoo Mail. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it wasn't for Yahoo Mail, we wouldn't have to use attribute selectors. It's the only reason we use them in email in the first place. But it does look like they're actually starting to strip out code in media queries, Yahoo Mail is. So they weren't supporting the stuff in the media queries before anyway, so it's not like we're losing out on responsiveness, but it does indeed look like it's stripping out code in the media queries, which, I mean, I feel like it's a big, bold statement to say. I would say to keep your eyes on it and stay tuned on this because this seems like a new development. But if this is true and it continues to stay true and it's not like some bug or something, like this is a big win for email, another small win because we can make our code just that much more cleaner and that much less of a headache. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if this was done intentionally or what, but if this, I hope this stays because this is a big win for email designers.
Yeah, this it's one of those weird things that somebody just notices in Yahoo. It's kind of like the table layout fixed hack, like you just notice something weird's going in Yahoo, so it's interesting to see those things crop up.
Well,
but...
And I think that's an important point, too, is like Yahoo's clearly been making changes to their webmail. So I wouldn't be surprised if this was an actual thing that they did.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's, I mean, it's been around for, this was posted 13 days ago and there haven't been any updates. Oh, they're back to this or this, you know, so it looks like it's going to stick around. Yeah, it's cool to see that Yahoo is working, actively developing their email client. It's just a little bit scary when these changes are made and it's not really like documented anywhere other than the Litmus community and somebody stumbling across it. But yeah, like you said, it'd be awesome if this sticks around, and that's one more thing we can clean up in our code and make it that much more readable and maintainable over time. So yeah, it's interesting to see things like this for sure.
Yeah, so I would say don't totally rely or depend on it just yet, but
wait.
Do some testing with it.
Yep.
I'm going to wait a little bit longer, but do your own testing on it. And if you find some interesting things or interesting quirks or hacks around it or whatnot, just please leave a comment in the Litmus community on this thread, because this will definitely be the go-to resource for Yahoo and its media queries and attribute selectors now.
Absolutely.
And if they're supporting them or not.
Yep, we'll leave that link in the show notes too, so you guys can get to it easily.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So MailChimp also got into the business of launching their new app for email, which is called MailChimp Snap, and it is a simple photo-based email app where you can send email campaigns straight from your phone, right from this app, and it's this really, really super simple app. It's actually really awesome. All you need to do is you can open up the app, you can take a picture of your own, choose one from your camera roll, or even pick one from your Instagram feed, and then you can select which list or individual people that you want to send the email to, and you can then just ship off a quick little email. It has one photo, you can write in like a little description, and that's it. You just send out a simple email to your subscribers, and I think this is so smart from MailChimp because they clearly know their audience, especially for a lot of their retail type of audience. This is a perfect type of tool. It takes the pain and hassle out of just sending a simple email, which they already do well already on their desktop, but for them to take things a bit mobile now and just make a super simple email that literally anybody can do and send off, I think is really smart. It's going to increase engagement for small businesses and their customers, and you know, really just leverage the relationship email can provide. And MailChimp Snap, it just makes it so super simple and easy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think this is amazing. This is such a great little product. Like it's a small in scope, but it has the potential to be so effective, you know. And like you said, they know their audience very well. There's so many people using MailChimp, but a lot of those people are just individuals that send things, or small businesses, people that send via like Etsy or something, might have an Etsy shop or stuff they're selling online, and they don't have the resources that bigger companies have. So to be able to just use your camera roll, quickly send an email to a list or individual subscribers, especially at individual subscribers, I can imagine like a small shop owner that knows her clientele very well, like, oh God,
yes,
John would love this shirt, I'm going to send him a picture, send this email out. That's amazing. That's so powerful. And I think we're going to see people just devouring this app and loving it. And it's going to do very, very good things for them. And I love seeing MailChimp innovate with interesting little products like this. They're so good about doing things like this. So, yeah, I love this. I don't necessarily, my personal emails and stuff, I don't use MailChimp, but I might have to look into it again if I ever start selling things online, you know. So this is awesome. I love it.
And I mean, MailChimp, they have 7 million
that's huge.
Users.
Huge.
7 million. So just think about the power that this app could have, putting it into the hands of 7 million people, several million of which struggle to even grasp why they should probably be sending email, or what, you know, email marketing is, or any of this stuff. I think it's going to be awesome. Yeah, just it's going to empower small businesses to actually leverage the power of email now, which
absolutely
is just really
that's
cool.
Awesome.
And
yeah,
almost surprising that nobody's really thought about this or done this quite yet.
Yeah.
And MailChimp, they've done it in their own super chimpy, elegant way.
Very, very true. All right, moving on. Our last kind of topic of discussion here. Another product is this Emailium, which is an online service that allows you to kind of keep tabs on what's going on in the email world on competitors or people that you're interested in sending. So it's interesting. We've seen things like this before. And this is a great take on this, is being able to see what other people are sending, kind of gain this really interesting perspective on what your competitors are sending, just see what different industries are sending, all this kind of stuff. So it's a great product that allows you to define what you want to watch out for, search through all these past email campaigns, and really get a good look at what people are sending, what people are reacting to, things like that. So it's really interesting to see things like this, and I think these are great tools. I feel like you've looked into these a little bit more or used them in the past more than I have, Kevin. So I value your opinion on this topic for sure.
Yeah. So Emailium, it was sort of this site which it got acquired by Fresh Address, mm-hmm. and now it's relaunched. So sort of similar to a Putzmail situation, as we talked about earlier, where it was this tool and got acquired, and now it's sort of relaunched under Fresh Address. So I think it's great to see this resource now back out there. It's not free. It does require a paying subscription, mm-hmm. but if you're a company who really values email design and staying up to date as to what the latest trends are, it could be well worth the cost.
Absolutely.
And it's great because, you know, it's not just screenshots. You can get the actual code, mm-hmm. Which is a big thing. And so it's this big, massive database and library of content for all the cool things happening for email. So, you know, it's like a big Pinterest for email resource library, which is really cool. And so I think anything that can help the discoverability of what's happening in email design and the latest trends and cool things to do in email design is a big win-win. So I'm very excited to see this back up and running. And I hope Emailium has a lot of success, and we actually need to look into getting a subscription ourselves.
Yeah, absolutely. Very true.
So check out Emailium if you need to do a lot of research on mm-hmm. competitors or research into other emails that's happening. Really, really great resource.
Yep.
All right, so that's going to do it for this episode of the Email Design Podcast. Just a reminder, check out emaildesignpodcast.com for full show notes and links. Everything we discuss, it will be available right there. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and SoundCloud. And be sure to subscribe to our email design newsletter. You can do that at the bottom of every single podcast post that we have. So you can just input your email and never miss an episode of the podcast again. And be sure to tweet out with the hashtag Email Design Podcast. We're following along there, so you can ask any questions, leave any feedbacks or comments you may have. We'll be answering you right there. And also be sure to use the coupon code podcast at litmus.com/giftcard. It is a free 14-day trial of Litmus, so a nice little gift for all you lovely listeners of email design. The struggle is real. We want to make sure we're helping you guys out. All right, so that'll do it for this time on the Email Design Podcast. Catch you guys next time.